Hi everyone, my name is Prachi Shivgaonkar. I'm the founder of Cool the Globe, an app and a movement for climate action. And you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing.
Yeah. My name is Abhay Dandekar, and I share conversations with talented and interesting individuals linked to the global Indian and South Asian community. It's informal and informative, adding insights to our evolving cultural expressions, where each person can proudly say, trust me, I know what I'm doing. Hi, everyone. On this episode of Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing, we share a conversation with climate activist and the founder of Cool the Globe, Prachi Shivgaonkar. Stay tuned. So here's a newsflash, and it's pretty simple. The Earth is warming, and quite frankly, we need to make it cooler. Now, executing impactful personal actions is actually all around us now, and those actions certainly can have ripple effects for generations to follow. And speaking of ripple effects, a heartfelt thanks to everyone for listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing, and sharing it with your friends and family, and for following us on social media. Now, if you're enjoying these episodes, please take a moment to submit a kind rating and review wherever you might be listening or watching, as it's truly appreciated. So how do you actually make a difference in cooling the globe? For such a big question, it's sometimes hard to focus on how our own personal behavioral change can have impact. For Prachi Shivgaonkar, asking those essential questions have led to both personal discoveries, but also to large-scale organizing and climate activism. Based in Pune, Maharashtra in India, she's a climate innovator, a grassroots activist, and the award-winning founder of the Cool the Globe startup and app, which harnesses the power of individual users to take action in reducing carbon emissions. The effort, which started as a simple app, has now scaled to also mobilize action at the corporate and population level. So far, through her work with individuals, companies, advocacy groups, and government organizations, Prachi's campaigns have impacted over 25 million people across over 110 countries and helped save over 2.5 million kilograms of greenhouse gas emissions and counting. So if you ask yourself the question, what can I do about climate change? Prachi has an answer for you, and her aim has been to help people set targets, take action, and track progress. With an aim to simplify, allow for the task to not look so daunting, and feel like an empowering opportunity, Prachi is bringing a grassroots approach to the world's largest problem. Now, I was grateful to catch up with her for a conversation, and we started by talking about what she felt people who are introduced to this movement typically have to let go of. I'm curious, when you hear stories and feedback from people who are joining in this kind of collective movement and in this community, what do people have to let go of typically, or even unlearn perhaps, when, if they're effectively trying to cool the globe?
So people who become a part of Cool the Globe movement, essentially what they're doing is committing to be a part of the solution and committing to do their bit for climate change. I think what I ask people to unlearn, the first thing, is that this doesn't have to be guilt-driven or unpleasant. This doesn't have to be from the place of sacrificing something. In fact, we believe that real sustainability and real climate action only adds to your life. So the first thing that I ask people to unlearn and that I ask people to learn is to make climate action fun for them. And to make sure that they get happiness from doing whatever they're doing. So I ask them, it does not have to be a difficult journey. Start with an action that feels easy for you, that gives you happiness, and that aligns with the other areas of your life. So I think the biggest thing that people have to unlearn is that doing something about climate change has to be, you know, has to be boring and has to be difficult. So it can be easy, it can be happy, and it can actually add value to your life.
Are there some things that people have been so hardwired with, and they have, you know, as consumers, they have added and added and added, and they feel that those things are essential for their life?
Yeah.
In the spirit of having fun, is there a switch that needs to go off to, in fact, shed some of those things? Is there a switch that needs to go off that says that, yes, while
actually lightening the burden of my consumerism and the way that I live my life. This is something that I actually need to shed, and I hopefully can have some fun in doing that.
While doing that, absolutely. I think the biggest thing that we need to shed is to go back a few generations. I think a lot of people ask me, you know, what kind of research did you do? And we put, about 1,200 hours of research, and that's hours and hours being put into researching IPCC, World Bank, data, emission factors, what are the actions we can take and what are the emissions that we're saving behind that? Reaching out to scientists, reaching out to climate activists and all of that. But I think at the end of it, what we came towards, the simple truth is that sustainability and climate action has been a part of our lives for generations. And we do not have to reinvent the wheel. We just have to go back in the wheel. And we just need to listen to what our grandparents are saying, have been badgering us with for years and years. So very simple thing that my grandmother would always yell at me at, which is to switch off the lights and the fans in the room when I go out of the room, to reuse my clothes, to not keep buying new packages whenever, you know, before I started all of this, there'd be new packages coming into the house every week. And she'd always be like, why do you have to buy new things all the time? She'd ask me to just simple things, you know, she'd always reuse all my, I used to always be irritated with her because I used to love, you know, cup noodles. And whenever I'd eat cup noodles, there'd always be like cup noodles lying around the house, and I'd open them and they'd be like, wet waste in the noodles. There'd be like peanuts in the noodles. So I'd open the packages expecting something nice, and there'd be like garbage in it. And I used to be irritated with her, but then I realized that when all of these reports are saying you have to segregate waste, you have to reuse clothes, you have to recycle, you have to. So all of these things are things that my grandmother has been doing for years, and she's been badgering me to do it also. So I think, what you need to do is just listen to your grandparents and look at how they've been living life, and try and see if you can go back a few generations.
And lots of lessons, obviously, that we can learn, in a transgenerational way, which is excellent. I was also curious about one thing, especially as being an entrepreneur now and running a startup along with this app. There's always seemingly a tension, right? Between, is there a way to perhaps feasibly generate capital and as a startup in a sort of measurable way, and as an entrepreneur, that oftentimes that capital has been grown through practices that are in fact leaving a pretty heavy carbon footprint. So, you know, in some ways, how do you actually resolve some of that tension where the rest of the world, particularly from a capital standpoint, is in a ways catching up with you?
Absolutely. We started building Cool the Globe when I was still in college, right? And I had no idea of this whole startup ecosystem. I had no idea how it worked. I honestly did not even have an idea that it existed. All we had was this idea and we wanted to build the app. It was not in my realm of possibilities that we could even generate capital for something like this. So what we did is we just learned whatever it is that you needed to build an app, and we did it ourselves. So in the initial years, we did not have capital. We just invested a lot of time and energy. Then after that, we started making videos about the app and started putting what we're doing out there. A lot of people became a part of what we're doing. So then in the next phase, instead of capital, we used the capital of people. So people would come by and say, I'd volunteer and I'd help you here. I'm a UX UI designer. I'd help design the homepage of the app. So people from all sorts of backgrounds would come to us and say, we want to be a part of this, and we'd help in that. Someone would say, I'm retired, I have free time, I can help manage all the volunteers. Some other young person would say, I'd also make videos about this in the context of my community, and I'd put the word out there. So all of the traction we've got in the app so far is only through citizen-led movements and participation like this.
Right.
So for the large part, we did not really have any capital at all. All we had was time, energy, and people. Then after that, you know, we started getting a lot of mentors and advisors who became a part of our journey as well. And I remember one such a discussion with one of my first mentors, and he said, do you want this to be big? You know, how big do you want this to be?
Right.
And if you want every person and every home using this, then you have to look at it as an entrepreneur venture, you know, and because that's the way to make things big in this ecosystem. And so that was the first time really when we started thinking about Cool the Globe as a startup and not just an initiative. And before we could consciously think about how we would grow as a startup, the opportunities to generate capital started coming to us organically. So when Cool the Globe app for individuals, which is free and will always be free, started getting a lot of traction, other organizations started coming to us saying that this is what you're doing for individuals, but we are also trying to take climate action in our organization. We are also trying to be net zero. And we want to involve our employees in this journey with us. So can you help us with that? Can there be an organizational version of this app? And so because, you know, we got 100 plus organizations coming to us and asking this. And because of that, then we started building Cool the Globe for organizations and community, which is a paid version of the app. And that's how we started generating capital through three ways. One is through trainings, you know, hosting trainings with organizations on how they can integrate climate action. Second was through consulting. And then third, now through Cool the Globe app for organizations. So these three ways really came in front of us very organically. And because they came organically, they were already aligned with our mission. You know, so while generating capital, we were also scaling up on our mission to make climate action easy, measurable, and scalable for citizens and now for organizations around the world. So our purpose and the way we generate capital thankfully go hand in hand.
I'm curious, you know, and this is just a very quick follow-up, but, you know, for those companies who are, you know, again, striving to do something that aligns incredibly well and synchronizes with your mission, is there some catch-up to go that, like, you know, as they, because again, maybe some of their carbon footprint and some of their thinking, or for that matter, their actions have not necessarily been always aligned with the mission, but they're trying and they're getting there. Okay. And there probably has to be some recognition of that in order for some of that change to happen.
Absolutely. So I think most organizations today have realized that climate action, a few years back, sustainability was looked at as an add-on, as a checkbox to tick. And that's where the whole greenwashing term came from. You know, are you doing it just to show, just for show? But now the ecosystem has become such that most organizations have realized that if they have to survive over the next few decades, they have to look at sustainability at the core of their operations. You know, we are entering a new era. And if, you know, organizations that take climate action and take meaningful climate action today will be leaders of the new millennium. And so it's, they've realized that climate action is not just the right thing to do, but it's also the profitable thing to do. And it's also something that they have to do if they want to survive. You know, the biggest organizations today have decided that they're not going to work with vendors, with partners who are not taking climate action. You know, consumers today care about this. So it's really become something that they need to do. And that really helps with the catch up, you know, because they have to catch up. It's become a need now. So the sooner the organizations realize that, the better it is for them. The ones that don't are going to experience the fallback themselves and then try and catch it.
Yeah, and which will of course be bad business for them as
well. Absolutely.
You're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. After a quick break, we'll come back to our conversation with climate activist Prachi Shewgaonkar. Stay tuned.
Every story told is a lesson learned, and every lesson learned is a story waiting to be told. I'm Abhay Dandekar, and I share conversations with global Indians and South Asians so everyone can say, trust me, I know what I'm doing. New episodes weekly, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hi, this is Madhuri Dixit, and you are listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing with Abhay Dandekar.
Welcome back to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. Let's rejoin our conversation now with the founder of Cool the Globe, Prachi Shivgaonkar.
You know, so much of the work that you do is uplifting and inspiring and, you know, in many ways, empowering to people. And at the same time, a lot of those who may not necessarily be in that community as part of the momentum, or even they start in that spot, there sometimes is a feeling of futility that unfortunately drives climate change to then take a backseat to other kind of issues or other personal things, right? So how do you combat this kind of fatigue when, you know, you're dealing with behavioral change and someone who really is trying to do the right thing and yet doesn't necessarily have perhaps the accelerators or the coaches or the ladders to get to the next level? How do you sometimes combat that kind of decelerating factor?
Absolutely. And that's an amazing question, because that really is the key of the problem, that ordinary citizens don't care enough about this in their day-to-day lives. We have enough on our plate. And it really helps me understand where they're coming from, because I went through the same thing in my journey as well. So people often ask me about our journey of building and scaling and growing Cool the Globe. But I'd say the journey that came before that, the prequel to our story, was the right. longer one, which is why I decided to work on climate change in the first place. And so I always knew that I wanted to do something in the impact space. And I remember, you know, doing a search on what is the biggest problem in the world right now. And that's when climate change came up. And the first time, you know, I read about climate change, you know, I read about coastal erosion, global warming, rising sea levels, rising temperatures, melting glaciers, and it all seemed very scary. It seemed like a Pandora's box had just been opened.
Right.
But I took a moment to myself, and, you know, I had a moment of honesty, and I thought, yes, it sounds worrying, but I don't think I care enough about this. You know, I had a lot on my plate. I was in college, I had friends to make, I had exams to give. And even beyond that, I could see in front of me so many issues, from poverty to illiteracy. And I thought, why should I care about polar ice melting in some other part of the world? So I went through this feeling myself of, does this actually affect me? Is this about me at all? And if it is this beyond me? Is this too big a problem for me? So
right.
because I went through this, I could understand where people are coming from. And I actually decided that, you know, let's leave climate change. You know, I don't think this is for me. Let's right. try and find a cause that I could care about. You know, let's try and find something that I could bring myself to feel passionate about and to want to work towards. And I yeah. took a year off and I traveled across India working with several sectors. You know, I traveled with farmers, you know, across Maharashtra for a couple of months. I worked yeah. with waste workers at the outskirts of Bangalore and the south of India. I taught children in villages and towns across India. And I worked with social entrepreneurs whose work really inspired me. And yeah. during the course of doing that, when I was trying to find a cause other than climate change that I could care about, that climate change kept coming back to me. You know, it was yeah. during that time when I actually went on ground that I kept meeting people who were experiencing these catastrophic effects of climate change that I only read about till then. You know, I remember meeting an old farmer who taught me more about it than any other global expert ever could. Mm. He said, small farmers like me just can't afford to keep doing it anymore. Un pausacha ganit has bigadla, which means the weather has yeah. gotten so unreliable. And when yeah. I can't afford to grow food, there are 1,000 people who can't afford to buy food. So climate change can also mean that more and more people go hungry. I remember yeah. meeting a young girl who, extremely bright young girl, and I asked her, which standard are you in? She said, I don't go to school these days. It was because her town was seeing a drought. The water was being used scarcely throughout her town. And nobody else in her family could afford to stay at home during the 2 hours when they got water. So they got water only for 2 hours in the afternoon. So she had to stay at home. And that's when I realized that when I hear about extreme weather events like droughts happening more frequently and more intensely because of climate change, it can also mean that a bright young girl like her has to skip school and stay at home to fill buckets with water. And this I cared about. And I kept meeting more and more people like this who made me realize that climate change is not just about the big words and the reports. It's about, as ordinary citizens, we care about very simple things. We care about our homes. We care about our food. We care about our health. We care about our livelihoods. And most importantly, we care about our families and the people around us. It was only when I realized that climate change is impacting all of these things, and it's impacting all of the challenges we already see in front of us, it's aggravating them, it was then that I began caring about it. It was then that I wanted to do something about it. And that's really what I try and bring to people as well, to help them understand, to speak about climate change in the language of what matters to them, in the language of things around them, that things that they care about and things that affect them personally. And when we do that, that's when we really see the desire to take action.
You're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. After a quick break, let's come back to our conversation with the founder of Cool the Globe, Prachi Shivgaonkar.
Conversation. It's the antidote to apathy and the catalyst for relationships. I'm Abhay Dandekar, and I share conversations with global Indians and South Asians so everyone can say, trust me, I know what I'm doing. New episodes weekly, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hi, everyone. This is Sid Sriram. I have an album titled Siddharth, and it's coming out on August 25th. And you're now listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing.
Hey there, this is Abhay Dandekar, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. Let's rejoin our conversation now with climate activist Prachi Shivgaonkar.
Do you think that this is then a lot more about development of not just the awareness, but along with that, actually development of a deep empathy for, you know, how the world functions on a most human basis? Because it sounds like you're sort of a series of aha moments and epiphanies. And, you know, this is probably nothing new in talking about, but clearly was how human this is, and particularly seeing it firsthand. And perhaps the way to make that switch happen is for people to have that same empathy as thinking about how connected all these things are to their own personal lives in the first place. I guess the question that I would have then layered into that is that what really drives policymakers and people who are in positions of economic power to now also enact the same change? Because, you know, for someone whose social entrepreneurship and community building is helping change, you know, minds of individuals, I imagine that the ultimate goal is to hopefully change the minds of those people, of course, who are in the levers of power.
Absolutely. Firstly, that's such an excellent way of putting it. So thank you so much for that. So we do a lot of work with policymakers. I get to interact and touch base with policymakers. But the reason we started Cool the Globe is also because I think the biggest transformation in the history of humankind have been brought about not just by leaders, influencers, or policymakers. They happen when ordinary citizens come on ground and say that this matters to me and I want to do something about this. When people like us come together and take action, because we have only 30 years to avoid the worst effects of climate change. And that means we are perhaps in some of the most significant decades of human existence. Any policy level change to get passed and to get implemented at a global level takes decades of work, you know, any technological innovation to get actually implemented on ground also takes even longer than that. But the actions that you and I decide to take in our lives today, they can spread like wildfire. And it really is that change like wildfire that we want to see. And I have seen that the motivator for policymakers, the biggest motivator is also people and what they are thinking. If they see that people care about this, then they want to do something about this. If policymakers see that my votes are going to come because from the decisions I take about climate change, then they would take decisions, firm decisions about climate change. If organizations see that my consumers are going to buy things from me based on how sustainable they are, then they're going to look at sustainability a lot more seriously. So really that it really just starts from the choices we make at our home and the choices we make in our mindset that drives the policymakers and corporates and global leadership to take action.
I mean, I'm just inspired and so, you know, profoundly moved by all of the different stories that you have. And of course, this movement is something that is more than inspiring. So I wanted to ask one last final, you know, question. This is a thought that, you know, always I think is important, but at the same time, it is what in fact ignites the switch and motivates people so much. So I'm curious, how can global climate activism that is on such a large scale and now happening through your vehicle, the Cool the Globe app and all the work you're doing with the Cool the Globe startup, how can this kind of global, large-scale climate activism make a single individual feel powerful?
Yes. I think our only mission with Cool the Globe is to get people from all walks of life to ask a simple question that Cool the Globe started with, which is, what can I do about climate change? We realize that most people want to make a difference. Most people want to be a part of the solution. They just don't know how, and they just don't know what they can do. And our simple message is really that in the face of a huge problem like climate change, our actions matter, our voices matter, and what we do makes a difference. And so we want every single person to figure out a small action that they can take in their day-to-day lives easily. You know, a small action that they can do to be a part of the fight against climate change. We want them to figure out how they it can be a meaningful part of their lives. And we want them to figure out how they can do it in a way that brings happiness to their lives. Then we want them to measure the impact of that action, measure the avoided emissions that come from taking that climate action in their day-to-day lives. And that's why Cool the Globe app has 100 plus climate action and shows that anyone can choose from. And it shows the CO2 emissions you avoided with each action. It gives a monthly target to every user to reduce their own carbon footprint. And the target is usually to reduce your carbon footprint by 10% every year. And that means taking about 3 to 4 climate actions every month, you know, which is not a very difficult thing to do. And then lastly, we ask users to take those actions and tell 10 other people about it. Because we have seen firsthand that one action can inspire 10 others and it can create a wildfire of change. And it really is a rewarding thing to see something that started from you creating a cycle of change. And I think lastly, what we also want to ask people to view it as is, you know, not just not look at climate action as a responsibility, but look at it as an opportunity. Because for the first time in the history of humankind, my actions today are not only going to impact my life, but the lives of generations to come. And that means I can, in a way, change the world by reducing my own carbon emissions. And that's such a powerful thing to do. So we believe that when citizens come together, miracles can happen. And that's what we're trying to do.
Well, it's certainly outlining a lot of purpose for people and giving them targets, and most importantly, empowering them with so many others. Prachi, thank you so much for joining us. This was really a treat. And again, kudos and congratulations on all that you're doing.
Thank you so much. I had a great time. And your questions were so insightful. It reminded me of why we're doing what we're doing.
Thank you so much, Prachi. And you can learn more at cooltheglobe.org. And speaking of cool, congratulations to Coco and Novak for their US Open tennis wins, and Rajiv Ram, of course, for his third consecutive US Open men's doubles championship win. Till next time, try and do something kind to someone who may not be expecting it, and I'm Abhay Dandekar.